On this episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast, we've got a cup roundup, coefficient questions, a look ahead to European fixtures in Austria, and more. Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast, the pod for all your Austrian football news in English. It's me, Tom Midler, and Simon Clark on the podcast this week, and we will be joined later on by special guest David Parks as well. Lots to discuss this week, as always, but first and foremost, the main thing is that competitive football is now back in Austria. The new season has got started, and if you want to be a glass half empty kind of guy, which I feel like being right now, you could say that half the teams who entered the ÖFB Cup are actually out and finished for the season already. Round one's been and gone. Si, what did you see this weekend, this long weekend of Cup football? What caught your eye there and got you perhaps excited about the Cup season?
Yeah, it was a very long weekend, beginning on Thursday night. Well, why was that game played on Thursday night? Regardless, I mean, yeah, it was quite an interesting weekend of ÖFB Cup first round football. Of course, in Austria and in Germany, the Cup first round is the traditional kickoff of the season. And in general, it's the smaller team hosting the Bundesliga teams. So you had a lot of the Bundesliga teams playing at very small stadiums. Red Bull Salzburg, for example, were playing in like basically a park. But like, there's about 2,000 fans there, which is quite fun. But yeah, there wasn't any major shocks. 24 of the 26 teams that entered from the top two divisions went through. Only two were eliminated, so that's kind of a shame. And all 12 Bundesliga teams made it through, although there were a couple close calls there. But there were some very heavy victories as well. I mean, Austria Lustenau 8-0 winners, Austria Vienna and Rapid 7-0 winners, Salzburg 6-0 winners, Blau-Weiß Linz 5-1 winners. You know, really a lot of big victories.
Yeah, a lot of big Bundesliga wins there in the Cup first round. Any specific results to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of results to pick out, the fact that Rapid Vienna played at the Wiener Sport Club Stadium against SR Donnerfeld was quite interesting. SR Donnerfeld is a third division team here in Vienna. They're a really cool club, really cool ground, but they couldn't play at their ground because it's not good enough to host 3,000 Rapid fans, so they had to play at the Wiener Sport Club. And of course, Ura Rapid were very, very good 7-0 winners. In terms of the closer calls, VSG Tirol were taken to extra time against SV Bad Schlabach, a wonderful name for a team. And yeah, they just about scraped through 3-2. Pretty dramatic game there. There was Altach, who travelled to Treuskirchen, which is just south of Vienna, and they scraped through with a 2-1 win. Hartberg, they played Favoritna AC, another properly famous club here in Vienna. They're actually the team that plays closest to the centre of Vienna, only about four stops from Karlsplatz on the Vienna metro system. Yeah, Favoritna played a proper good game, and they lost 3-2 against Hartberg. Of course, Hartberg were actually the team that got knocked out of the competition by a VAD's team a couple of years ago. I believe you were at that game, Tom.
Yeah, it was Wiener Victoria. And watching the Hartberg game this year gave me sort of flashbacks of that. You know, the AstroTurf, seeing Hartberg go out of the cup on penalties on the AstroTurf on that glorious sunny day. That's what Cup Round 1 is all about, isn't it? It always seems to be a lovely day, except if you're Sturm Graz, because their game got actually postponed, didn't it, halfway through, or delayed, I suppose, is the right word, because they did come back out to complete a heavy win. And what I wanted to talk about in the Cup, as you said, 12 out of 12 Bundesliga teams going through. But for me, the thing that stood out was the debutants, goals from debutants, because there were so many this weekend.
There really were. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of incoming players into the Austrian Bundesliga. And yeah, many of them scored for their clubs. In the aforementioned Red Rapid Vienna game, two of their brand new signings from Blau-Weiß Linz both scored. Of course, when you're playing a team from like the third division, you know, fill your boots.
Yeah, that's definitely the right phrase, fill your boots. But some players certainly did, and plenty of the teams did too. The one you mentioned for Rapid was particularly good because it was Seidel and Mayulu. It was a proper Blau-Weiß Linz effect. It was Seidel with a through ball, Mayulu finishing it off. So Blau-Weiß Linz combining in green and white. But Seidel got a goal as well himself. But elsewhere, Simon Włodarczyk, the new Polish striker at Sturm Graz, got a hat trick and I think an assist in that game as well. Alexander Buxa at VSG. You mentioned VSG as one of the real strugglers in the Cup round one. Buxa pretty much single-handedly dug them out of trouble with two crucial goals. Paul Kompos and Maximilian Entrup both scored on their Hartberg competitive debuts. Who else have I got in my list? Moussa Kone got a double for LASK. So he's one of the many players who's now played one with two goals in a competitive action. That always looks nice. It's like early on in a cricket score, you know, when you take some wickets and the scores are sort of the wrong way around. Appearances one, goals three for Vlodarczyk. Appearances one, goals two for Kone. Florian Rieder at VRC did the same, getting two goals on his debut there. Bernie Zimmermann, the ex-Rapid striker who's on loan, also scored 4 minutes into his VRC competitive debut. And Christoph Monschein was another one that stood out for me in the first division, in that first Vienna of Liga 2 went through also being bailed out of trouble by two relatively late Christoph Monschein goals. So a great start to his career in the blue and yellow of first Vienna.
Yeah, it's always a very interesting beginning to the season, just seeing, you know, these big Bundesliga clubs, these clubs who are going to be playing, you know, Champions League, Europa League football this season, going to these small villages in the hinterlands of Austria. And it's always a fun time. It really is. I mentioned those two shocks. Imst, who beat Sportspice Bregenz. Bregenz, who are newly promoted to the second division, beat them 2-0. And then SV Leobendorf, a club that we have been to in the not-too-distant past, beat SV Horn 3-2. So two Liga 2 teams heading out in the competition. And just one more thing I wanted to mention was SC Pinzgau, a team that we've mentioned many, many times in this podcast, came back from 2-0 down against the Regionalliga Salzburg counterpart, Bischofshofen, to win 3-2. And so they're in the second round of the cup.
I'm glad you mentioned Pinzgau, because they were one of the very, very small number of home wins across the weekend. As you said, the home team, traditionally the smaller team in the first round of the ÖFB Cup. It's not quite the same for Pinzgau and Bischofshofen because they're both in the same division. But still, Pinzgau were second in the league table last year. Bischofshofen were first. So they played against each other. And yeah, with Pinzgau two down, it was a remarkable comeback, including an incredible free kick, which was one of my goals of the round. Semi Vosjar smashing in a free kick through the wall and off the bar and down. It was one of those really beautiful ones that just cannons in off the bottom of the crossbar to come back to 2-2. And then they ended up winning it 3-2, holding on in the end. So I hope for Pinzgau and for their fans that they'll get a draw against a Bundesliga team in round two. But I guess that's what a lot of teams will be hoping for when the round two draw is made.
And there's a very high chance, considering the fact that all 12 of them qualified. So a 12 of 32 chance. So, yeah, well, why not?
Do you know when the second round draw is actually taking place? I couldn't find out when I looked. It's usually done on TV and they often do it live and sort of fumble it somehow. I remember the last couple of years, it's been pretty, it's been pretty dodgy, at least on one of the rounds, both of the last 2 years. But I couldn't find out when it was this year.
It's very hard to find this information sometimes.
We'll find out when that is for you and we'll put it on our Twitter as soon as we know. That'll do for part one of this podcast, a quick cup round one roundup now that competitive football has returned. When we return after a little music break, we'll answer a couple of listener questions and we'll talk a little bit about the European football that's coming up as well. Welcome back to part two of this episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast. We've got a little bit of Bundesliga news for you and some listener questions as well. And we'll take a glance ahead to Europe before part three of the podcast deals with Austria and the European coefficient with our special guest, David Parks, as well. But yeah, for this bit, I'll start with some of the listener questions. One of them from Austria Wien UK fans was rather predictable. How brilliant are Austria Wien and how are they going to beat Rapid Wien every time they face them? We can skip over that one, to be fair, but we'll talk about Austria and Rapid when it comes to European football and the European section, because both teams are very much involved in that. I mean, it is fair to say that Austria Vienna massively had the upper hand on that rivalry last season. Can they do it again this time? Who knows? Questions about Blau-Weiss Linz came in. We had a couple of those. One, again, that can be sort of glossed over. Can Blau-Weiss Linz do it on a rainy Saturday night in Alsak?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, Alsak away is not, it's one of the longest away trips in the Austrian Bundesliga, but it's probably not one of the hardest, if we're being brutally honest. Blau-Weiss Linz's new stadium, how can that impact their long-term future? That was quite an interesting question, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a club who have been playing at a temporary stadium for the last couple of years, also called the Poffmann Personal Stadium. They're a team who've got promoted at exactly the right time. They opened the stadium about 10 days ago, as of recording, against PSV Eindhoven, losing 2-1. It's a very cool modern arena, 6,000 capacity. It's a perfect home for the Austrian women's team, which is a key part of the Wildwider Stadium that was built as well. It's tight, it's compact. For a club like Blau-Weiss Linz to have a new home, it's on the old land of the old Donau Park Stadion, which is about a 15-minute walk from the centre of the city. So it'd be great for fans travelling to Linz, which is controversial because in Austria, Linz has a reputation of being very industrial. But both Tom and I think it's a lovely city because if it's Austria's worst city, it's still much better than most in the UK. So.
Yeah, Linz is a great city and I'll hear nothing else said on the matter. But I think some of the people in Linz are a bit bemused that in the last couple of years, suddenly, well, actually in the last couple of months now, you could say, two new stadiums have suddenly sprung up. You've got the Raiffeisen Arena new on the Google and, yeah, the Donauparkstadion on the banks of the river. It's in a beautiful location. I actually didn't know it was on the site of the old Donauparkstadion. So maybe that makes it a bit less controversial, but some of the people I know in Linz are scratching their heads a little bit as to why there's a brand new stadium being opened up. It's just so much football being developed in Linz. But in the end, you know, for both the clubs, if you're a fan of LASK or Blau-Weiss Linz, both clubs definitely in position to push on with that. And it does help, doesn't it? You know, gate income, having your own stadium, a bit more interest, a bit more enthusiasm around the club. You know, they both, with stadiums like that, have very fitting places in the Bundesliga. Another question we got on Twitter was Wacker Innsbruck check-in. So, okay, I'll check in again on Wacker Innsbruck. We did speak about them a couple of episodes ago and their convoluted relegation where they finished mid-table, they weren't able to go up in the reshuffle, and they weren't even able to stay in the same division in the reshuffle. And I think what is exemplifying their whole situation is that if you look on their official club website, it lists their league table standings for the coming season as the question mark league level. So they don't even know which level they're at. The question mark league level, we believe that should be a fifth division rather than a question mark division. But that's what they've got on the Wacker Innsbruck official website. They have had a busy summer, though. They've had lots of players going in and out. I think more than 10 players in and more than 10 players out as well. And they took a trip to Chemie Leipzig, which is a pretty cool away day for them. And they played a friendly against Chemie Leipzig, both sets of fans celebrating both teams. And Chemie Leipzig got a late goal to draw 1-1 in that friendly. Brilliant atmosphere there in front of thousands of fans enjoying their summer football. Daniel Francis, former FC Bayern youngster, was the player who scored for Wacker Innsbruck. They've signed the 19-year-old defensive midfielder for the coming season. He used to be on loan at Austria Klagenfurt as well. So that's my check-in for Wacker Innsbruck. We do believe, like I said, they're in the fifth tier and we'll keep our eyes on them in the coming season. We got a question about Max Johnston, Scottish flag. A Scot coming over to Austria, who we mentioned on the pod a couple of weeks ago, has now, on the day of recording, actually completed that move. It is official. Max Johnston has signed until 2027. He becomes Sturm Graz number two, as in the shirt number two, rather than second in the ranks. Max Johnston, I think it's great. I watched the interview with him at the airport before we headed over. It seems like he hasn't actually been out to Graz yet until the day of recording, and now here he is, and he's done the videos kicking up, doing the keepy uppies and stuff, and you know, doing the aggressive celebration kind of things into the camera to announce his signing. But this is one that I'm really excited about. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing Max Johnston.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. I mean, to have a player that's arriving with, you know, a good reputation, very talented, and he's chosen to come to the Austrian Bundesliga. By all accounts, I believe there's interest from France as well and from Holland. And then he chose to come to the Austrian Bundesliga. So, yeah, I mean, it just shows that the project they have at Sturm Graz, which I think I'm talking about every podcast I'm on, is the project at Sturm Graz. But it's working so well. And I mean, they are now attracting top young players who they could theoretically sell in a couple of years for, you know, a lot of cash. And Max Johnston seems to be exactly one of those players.
Yeah, Scottish Football Writers Young Player of the Year, was playing at Cove Rangers in the Scottish Second Division only a couple of months ago, really. Came back to Motherwell, played only a handful of appearances, really impressed there, and now looks like the next in an ever-lengthening line of very, very talented young Scottish fullbacks. So I've got a lot of expectations for him, and I wonder how that will be, because he might not be one of those players who can race straight into the first team. I'm interested to see how that's going to play out, because often, you know, when you make a big signing or a signing that comes with this much fanfare, this much excitement, you expect them to go in straight away. But I'm not sure it's the case for Max Johnstone, because he's so young and he's so relatively inexperienced. But it's not a loan deal or anything like that. You know, they've got him free. Motherwell let his contract expire. Sturm swooped in at the right time. And as you said, they impressed him with their style of play. He said he was really happy with what Christian Ilzer had to say about the style of football, about the kind of outlook at Sturm and the positivity. And as you said, quite clearly, we've seen in transfer after transfer in the last few months now that Sturm is an attractive place for players to come, because they know there's a chance for them to get in the shop window, play good football, have some fun, develop, and then, you know, really make a move to a massive league. And a player who has done that this very week is Emmanuel Emiga, gone 13 million euros. He's gone to the other Todd Boehly club, the big spenders in France. Yeah, big move to Strasbourg at 13 mil. I, for one, think that sounds like great business to Sturm, given that he wasn't the same kind of finished prospect. I know Rasmus Højlund was far from a finished prospect either, but Højlund was already a leading man, a leading goal scorer, the kind of player that you immediately miss when he leaves your side. And I'm not convinced that Emiga was quite there yet. I think Sturm will be able to cope with his loss perhaps more easily than they did with Højlund leaving.
Yeah, I think so as well. He's definitely not the finished article. He's talented, don't get me wrong. I mean, every time I saw him play, I was very impressed by his pace, his positioning. His finishing was a little bit lackluster, but then again, he is a young talent. Maybe the move to France is the perfect move. And it just shows that now Stone Graz are at a point that Salzburg are now at, where they're selling on players even before they've reached the peak of their potential, which is quite an interesting development. And I'm, you know, 13 million euros, you'd be happy with that.
Yeah, it's a great income. They've apparently secured rights for some of the money, you know, a small percentage of the sell-on fee as well. So that plus bonuses, it seems like great money to me. And, you know, when you consider they've just signed Johnstone, obviously completely the opposite of a like-for-like, given that Johnstone's a fullback and Emiga's a striker. But, you know, they're bringing in one talented young player, letting go one talented young player. They've sold one for 13 million. Johnstone comes in at 300,000. Vladarczyk came in at what looked like quite a chunk of cash at 3 million and has bagged a hat trick on his competitive debut. You can't really say fairer than that. And I think there's an interesting little merry-go-round thing that could have happened, in that we wondered whether Okafor was going to stay or go at Salzburg. When Okafor did go to Milan, another player who you'd say is perhaps not quite the finished article yet, but Milan have taken the chance on him. Another nice, very nice Bundesliga move, seeing a player move on from Austria to one of the big five leagues, and, you know, a great European heavyweight club like AC Milan. It's a very exciting move for Okafor. But I wondered then whether Emiga would be the Salzburg replacement. I thought they might swoop in quickly and take Emiga for sort of 10, 12 mil. And I would have found something awkward about that, given how close Sturm are to Salzburg at the moment, if they were still in the position to sell to such a close rival. I would have been interested to see. I wonder if there were some calls and some negotiations behind the scenes. But in the end, I think both clubs will be happy. They've both got the sale, but Sturm didn't have to sort of feed Salzburg either.
Once that begins happening, you know, obviously the comparisons between the German Bundesliga are right there. It would not be great for the Austrian Bundesliga, as I say that. And it hasn't really happened yet. I mean, I guess you could argue Alex Slager going from LASK to Salzburg is maybe kind of arguable. But once they're signing like proper young talent strikers, then maybe that'll be, you know, they're jumping the shark a little bit. But it hasn't happened, which is good. And both clubs have made a very healthy profit. We mentioned it a few weeks ago when we discussed, Tom, like Salzburg have sold a lot of players again over the summer. It's a very interesting thing. And of course, the sporting director leaving as well. It's huge. Who knows how that's going to affect like these young players coming into Salzburg. I mean, it's quite an interesting time and it's going to be an interesting season.
It really is. There was also a merry-go-round issue there, that some people thought that Andreas Schicker from Sturm would be the natural replacement for Christoph Freund at Salzburg as sporting director. That hasn't happened as well. Salzburg have filled the position from within their own ranks. So that's also interesting to see. You know, I think the doomsday scenario was Sturm become just a feeder club for Salzburg. So neither of those things happened. That does keep the league, on paper at least, looking rather more interesting heading into the new season. Both teams started very strongly in the cup. Lustenau, I wanted to mention, because we were also sort of having doomsday scenarios at Lustenau, having this very, very thin squad. And then they got I think the biggest win of anyone in the cup with an 8-0 win. So probably the Bundesliga team who I would have picked as the most likely to get knocked out of the cup were the ones who actually won most comfortably. A couple of things that I wanted to round up whilst we're looking at odd bits of Bundesliga business. Matthias Taferner. He might be leaving VRC of his own accord and finding nowhere better than Serie C in Italy.
This is a very talented young player who could feasibly play for a top five club in the Austrian Bundesliga. If I think he's that talented, but he's left VRC and it seems like the only team interested in him really is a team in the Italian third division. Yes, that is a team that's in Trieste, and Trieste is basically Austria, if you've ever been to Trieste. It was part of the Austrian Empire.
Not sure how they'll feel about that.
Yeah, I know.
Down in Trieste, but
part of the Austrian Empire, and it's a very, very, very beautiful spot in Italy. I mean, I hope he can find a better club than that. I'm surprised that one of the top five teams, maybe Austria Vienna or Rapid, I think he'd be a decent fit there, would come in. But yeah, 22 years old, and he might be going to the Italian third division. Quite crazy.
It is quite crazy. What else is crazy is that Phil Collins ended up on our Twitter this week. Do you want to tell our listeners how Phil Collins ended up being tweeted about by the other Bundesliga podcast?
Yeah, so this is one of the more remarkable things that happened in Austria in recent seasons. But the son of Phil Collins has joined VSK Tirol, which is pretty remarkable. Of course, all the puns in the world, We're throwing them all out there. Maybe he's got an engine in him. Maybe he has an engine in him. He has two hearts. Maybe, another day in paradise in Tirol.
Too many song title references possible here.
he was apparently a young talent at Hanover. He's moved to VSK Tirol, and apparently VSK Tirol had no idea that he was Phil Collins' son. Which is the second time this has happened, because when they signed Kelvin Yeboah, they didn't realise that he was the nephew of Tony Yeboah. So VSK Tirol need to start looking at the family members of their players. But yeah, let's hope he plays. For us, it's another Englishman in the Austrian Bundesliga, which is very, very fun. And the fact he's Phil Collins' son means that if he's any good, we're going to throw out all the puns that we can.
While we're talking about Austria Vienna, though, Manfred Fischer is a man who's always good for a bit of an odd quote. Earlier in the season, or at the end of last season, actually, he said, we'd rather finish fifth than lose in Klagenfurt. And was quickly reminded online that Austria Vienna had actually lost in Klagenfurt that season. So it made no sense at all. And he's come out with another great quote now, Fischer. He said, LASK are basically splashing the cash as if they want to win the Bundesliga. So it was kind of criticising LASK as if they want to win the Bundesliga. Because, I mean, LASK have brought in a lot of players. I looked through their squad. They've now got 12 attackers in their squad currently, which is quite a ludicrous amount of attackers. They have a massive, massive squad depth at the moment. But yeah, I mean, to criticise them as a team preparing to try and win the Bundesliga, I thought was a very strange criticism, because surely at least the top five in Austria, the big five, they're all kind of preparing to win the Bundesliga if possible, aren't they?
It kind of shows his mentality, maybe, going into the season, that, the fact that Austria Vienna, who have won, 24 league titles, 27 cups, off the top of my head, so I might be wrong. If I was an Austria Vienna fan, I'd be thinking, obviously we're probably not going to win the league. I mean, it's probably a, 1,000-to-1 kind of situation. But, it's pretty confusing, actually, Mandy Fischer. But, the good thing is he's a man that can come out with a quote like that. So maybe throughout the season we can throw in a Mandy Fischer quote every couple of weeks and see the reaction.
Mandy Fischer's best bites on the other Bundesliga. Yeah, definitely. LASK had spent no money collectively on all the players that they brought in at the time that he said that. Yes, they brought in loads of new players, but they were all free transfers or loans. So they weren't even splashing the cash in that sense. So I do wonder how LASK are going to fit all that in, how Thomas Sagida, the new coach, is going to gel all those players. We talked about that a few weeks ago as well, but now they've signed even more and more and more since then. But if it gives them a chance, we talk about needing depth to compete in European group stages as well as in the Bundesliga. And on that note, we'll look a little bit ahead towards Europe, because European football is getting going soon. What do you think of this tie that's starting off this week, Austria Vienna against Borac Banja Luka?
It could be tough. Austria Vienna should be favourites. I think they are favourites. But, at this point in the season, it's very early doors. I think maybe we don't have the highest hopes for Austria Vienna this season. So to be playing a team that I believe finished second in the Bosnian top flight last season is quite a difficult one. And I mean, it will be home first leg, away second. So you'd hope maybe a positive result at home and then this, you know, try and get a draw away, get through. I think, you know, maybe that's the limit of what Austria Vienna should be doing. We've seen it in previous seasons. They've kind of shit the bed a little bit in these European qualifiers. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tricky tie, but I think that they all are at this point in the season. If they win, they have, you know, potentially winnable next tie as well against either Legia Warsaw, of course, massive team from Poland, or Roda Bassi, who are from Kazakhstan. You'd imagine Legia Warsaw would be the favourites to win there. And, you know, if they were to qualify, Legia Warsaw is a team they've played twice before in Europe, actually, and both times in qualifying for the UEFA Cup, and both times they qualified for the group stages afterwards. So, you know, hopefully that's a good omen for Austria Vienna. But yeah, firstly, they'd have to win this tie against Boric Banja Luka.
Yeah, I've got hopes for them this season. Another good start in the cup, very, very solid start in the cup, which I think is important. You know, we saw, as you mentioned earlier, a couple of teams did struggle. Altac nearly got knocked out, VSK nearly got knocked out. It does say a little bit about them and the position that they are coming into the season. And yet for Austria Vienna to sail through that comfortably, Rapid as well, although Rapid got a lot of late goals to make their scoreline look even more comfortable perhaps than it was. But still, it's the right momentum going into that game. And I'm hopeful that Austria Vienna can take the step forward in Europe that we saw Sturm Graz do. I think Austria are looking much more like a settled unit this season and the end of last season than they were in previous years. So I'm hoping that will show on the pitch. There were a couple of other draws made, one of them involving Sturm Graz and PSV Eindhoven, who have recently been in Austria.
Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, they opened the brand new stadium at Blau-Weiss Linz, where they beat Blau-Weiss Linz 2-1. Yeah, this is another interesting tie because they played in the Europa League group stage two seasons ago, and PSV won both home and away. But you can argue this is a different Sturm Graz now to the one back then. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And I mean, for Sturm Graz to be, you know, Champions League qualification round, this is the third qualifying round. You know, it's tantalizing. I think they could potentially beat PSV. But then again, you know, PSV are a team that have, you know, a massive European pedigree. So yeah, I think it's going to be very, very intriguing. And of course, if they were to go through, then they would play one of like Braga, Rangers, Marseille, whoever. So, but yeah, first of all, PSV Eindhoven, it's going to be a very, very tough tie, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think LASK, if I'm right, pretty much dismantled PSV a couple of years ago. So they've got a bit of history in Austria that they'll want to put right, PSV. So it's definitely not going to be an easy one, but an interesting one. And I think anyone who draws Sturm Graz as well is probably not going to be delighted at that. If they look at how close they ran, for example, Dynamo Kyiv last year, and generally how well they played in the Europa League and how that they've strengthened since then, I don't think anyone really wants Sturm Graz, because if you lose to Sturm Graz, it almost sounds like, for a team like PSV, it sounds like a huge upset, or it sounds like you've really slipped up. But I think, you know, the footballing folks will know that Sturm are forced to be reckoned with at the moment. We'll leave it there for part two of this week's The Other Bundesliga podcast, but do stick with us for part three, because special guest David Parks is on to give us a wider look at where Austria sit in terms of the European coefficient and what the picture looks like for all of Austria's teams as they head towards the European football season. Welcome back to The Other Bundesliga. For part three of this podcast episode, we welcome a special guest onto the show. Welcome to The Other Bundesliga, David Parks, at DPNINA10 on Twitter, a veritable coefficient expert and a follower of leagues all around the globe. David, great to have you with us today. First off, from the Austrian perspective, of course, what is the lie of the land? Where do Austria currently sit, and who are the big rivals around Austria in the rankings?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on here. It is a true pleasure. I followed your account as well as your sister account, the SmearPod, on Twitter for quite a while now, and I must say I thoroughly enjoy the content that both accounts make. So kudos to you on that, and keep up the amazing work. Yes, so Austria starts the season in 10th place in the UEFA country five-year coefficient ranking. They're about 2 points behind Scotland in 9th, about a point ahead of Switzerland, who's 11th, 1.5 points ahead of Serbia in 12th, and 2 points ahead of Turkey, who are in 13th spot. These four countries I mentioned will be Austria's rivals this season in the coefficient ranking, as Austria will hope to finish as high as 9th, realistically. I'll get into more as to the importance of 9th, 12th, and the other places later on.
In the past, Austrian teams did pretty well in qualifying. We're used to seeing the likes of LASK rack up some big wins, and Red Bull Salzburg mastered it eventually on their path to the Champions League. But last year, we had the likes of Rapid losing to Vaduz, of course. Austria Vienna have fallen at the first hurdle quite a few times. Now, that hurts at the time for both the club and for the fans, but it's also not great for the team's chances the following year, is it?
Absolutely, and that's a good point. Last season was not Austria's finest year. They collected just 4.9 points. For a country in the top 10 or even the top 15, that is a very low number, and that's not good enough, typically. In fact, it was their lowest tally since the 2015-16 season, where they earned just 3.8 points, which is really, really low. As you mentioned, it was a rough year for Austria in the 22-23 season. Both Wolfsburg and Rapid Wien fell in the playoff round of the Conference League. Wolfsburg lost to Norwegian side Molde, who's, you know, still an established European side and a respectable team, so it wasn't a massive upset. But in the case of Rapid, they were stunned by Liechtenstein's Vaduz, and that, of course, one that many remember, not for the right reasons if you're a Rapid supporter. Both Austria Wien and Sturm Graz finished bottom of their respective groups, Austria Wien in the Conference League and Sturm Graz in the Europa League, while Red Bull Salzburg finished third in their Champions League group, falling to Roma in the Europa League knockout playoffs. So Austria still finished 10th last season, despite their shortcomings. But I can assure you that a repeat performance this time around will almost surely cost them a top 10 finish come the end of this season. So they will definitely need to perform better in Europe.
What do you make of the chances for Austria Vienna and the others who are battling to reach the group stages?
Yeah, this summer there'll be four Austrian sides competing in the qualifying rounds. Sturm Graz will partake in the Champions League third qualifying round facing PSV Eindhoven. The two met in the Europa League group stage just 2 years ago, and of course PSV won both matches. Should Sturm lose this tie or defeat PSV and lose in the playoff round of the Champions League, they will fall to the Europa League group stage, so that will be the good thing for them. They're at least guaranteed a spot in the Europa League. As for LASK, they return to Europe. They're entering at the Europa League playoff round. They do not know their opponents yet, but they will find out in a couple of weeks' time in the playoff round draw there. They're in essence seeded for this draw. It's a complicated system in the Europa League playoff round. They're in priority one, so yeah, they're basically seeded. That will help them out. The aim is to avoid Olympiacos Piraeus or Slavia Praha. Those will be the big names. They're both in the Europa League third qualifying round. They are at least assured a spot in the Conference League group stage should they fall in that round. So that's the good news for them. As for Rapid Wien and for Austria Wien, they are still in the Conference League qualifiers. As you mentioned, things kick off this week for Austria Wien. They will take on Bosnian side Borac Banja Luka, regulars in Europe. The Austrian side should be really, in essence, favourites in this tie. They're the seeded team, and they really should be expected to win this. Should they progress, they will take on either Legia Warszawa of Poland or Kazakh Cup winners Ordubasy Shymkent in their qualifying rounds. It's probably going to be Legia. They're the favourites there as well. It won't be easy for them. Even if they get past Legia, they still have to get through one more round in the playoff round, and again, they would be unseeded, so it's very likely that Austria Wien will not make the group stages this season. As for Rapid, they will be entering the third qualifying round, so they still have two more weeks before they enter the fray, and they will face either Hungarian side Debreceni or Armenian side Alashkert, who some may remember from two seasons ago. They were in the inaugural Europa Conference League group stage, so that's a team that some may remember. Again, it's a tie that you'd expect Rapid to win, regardless of who they face. Again, can't take those clubs lightly, but we will see. Rapid Wien, should they make the playoff round, still be in the playoff round draw, it's very likely they will be unseeded in that draw, which again will mean they'll have a very difficult opponent, so that will not be advantageous to them.
Okay then, perhaps not the brightest of outlooks, but prediction time. Come the end of the year, where do you see Austria actually fitting in to the coefficient, and what's the crucial place that they'll be aiming for?
At the start, I mentioned that I would go through the importance of the positions in the five-year coefficient ranking, what they mean going into the season, so people have more perspective. So to finish ninth in the coefficient ranking would award the domestic runner-ups in the 2025-26 season a spot in the Europa League group stage minimum. So in essence, they continue to be in the third qualifier in the Champions League as Sturm Graz is this season. It would just give them an extra comfort in knowing that they'll at least qualify for the group stage. Not the same if you start in the second qualifier in the Champions League. If you finish 10th, the domestic league winner will enter the Champions League group stage still, or in this case, it will be the league phase starting next season. Finishing 11th or 12th in the coefficient ranking will allow a second team to enter the Europa League qualifiers along with the cup winner. So that team would start in the second qualify round. The cup winners enter the playoff rounds for both 11th or 12th. Please note that it's still five European spots. It just means it only have one team starting in the Conference League qualifiers in the second qualifying round still. If Austria finishes 13th, then only the league champion will be assured a group stage spot. That would mean, again, presumably Red Bull Salzburg would enter the Champions League playoff round and not the group stage. The good news for them, again, they'll be assured at least a Europa League group stage spot. But ideally, they'll be pushing for Champions League in that case. And all the other spots would be qualifiers. They would enter somewhere between the second or third qualifying rounds of the Europa League, Europa Conference League, and of course, the second place team, Champions League qualifiers, second qualifying rounds. As for Austria's chances, I wrote a piece about a month ago where I previewed this coefficient battle among the five countries. I expect Austria to finish 12th, maybe 11th, but a top 10 finish is going to be unlikely, I think, for this season. They could prove me wrong, but I just don't see it. I expect Turkey to leap past everyone in this race. If you remember me mentioning at the start that Turkey's actually in 13th spot. I expect them to finish 9th because they have a very strong lineup. They're traditional big three of Galatasaray, Fenerbahce, Besiktas, as well as debutants Adana Demirspor, who could also make a decent run. So I can see them getting Turkey getting about 10 to 12 points this season. I have Scotland to finish 10th, not necessarily because they'll have a fantastic year or do better than last season, but is this simply a matter of between Austria, Switzerland, and Serbia? I just cannot see any of those three teams or three countries collecting enough points to pass Scotland for 10th. So that's the only reason why. Scotland will probably improve on last season, not by a ton. Maybe they get about 5.5 points at most, as is the case with these other three countries. And then for the 11th through 13th, it's really just a matter of getting teams in the group stages. I think that Switzerland has a good chance of getting four teams because they have young boys already guaranteed a group stage spot. Likewise, Lugano. Servette only needs to win one round of qualifying to join them, and I think they will have the quality to do so. Basel's in the Conference League qualifiers, and they will obviously be expected to go at least in a group stage and even further. And then for, we already mentioned Austria, but in the case of Serbia, they will likely have a very difficult season. Savena Zvezda is in the Champions League group stage for them, but they'll have two group stage debutants in Cukarecki, minimum the Europa Conference League, and in Bačka Topola, who will be in the Champions League qualifiers, minimum Europa League group stage for them. Partizan Belgrade, a very established side, they will be in the qualifiers of the Conference League, but things have not gone well for them over the last year, really. And I can see them losing in the qualifiers, which would be a huge upset, but I wouldn't be surprised. And then, of course, Vojvodina, it's very unlikely they'll get past the second qualifying round, so I can't expect them to be really much of a factor here. So as a result, I can see Austria finishing 11th, 12th, between them and Switzerland, 11th and 12th. Like I said, Serbia will really struggle this year because of the teams they have in Europe, which competition they're in, and where they'll start. I think between Cukarecki and Bačka Topola, they will definitely struggle in their group stages. So I think for Serbia, they're going to be the one that misses out on the top 12. Austria, 12 spots for them. Again, I won't say I expect a fantastic year. I think we can expect to see about 5.5 points. A lot of those points will be accumulated by Red Bull Salzburg, of course, playing the Champions League again. I can see them finishing at least third if they get a decent group, maybe even second spot. So that would be really what I expect from Austria this season.
All right, perhaps not the most positive of outlooks for Austria going into this season after a pretty challenging season last year. But thanks very much anyway, David. We'll check in with you again as the qualifiers unfold and we know a bit more about whether your predictions are coming true or not. Some of them we hope do come true. Others will hope for some improvement instead. Thanks, David, for joining us for this episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast. And thanks to you, dear listeners, as well. We'll leave it there for this week's episode. We hope you'll join us again very soon once the Bundesliga has restarted and the European season is underway. We'll be back next week.